I could have a huge flip chart up here that should be really easy to fill with things that we're thankful for. I want to just take a couple of minutes this morning and just have you yell those out. It should just happen rapid fire because there should be so many things it's easy to thank God for. So, who will kick us off with something they're thankful for today? Just fire it out. The what? Thankful she can visit Coaldale from Manitoba. We're glad you're here too, Hannah. Right on. Another. They came so fast I couldn't even hear them. Kites? Sunshine?
Salvation?
What? Water. Amen. Man, we don't get far without that.
Coffee.
Well, I won't join you on that. I'll take your word for it. Terrible stuff. Yeah, you got one? For your cousins? Excellent. Good. Family's important. We're alive. Yeah. It's a gift. That we can give? We can give. Yeah, right on, giving. Right on, grandkids. Fresh air, yeah. Ooh, we were in the Philippines for a while. I don't take fresh air for granted anymore. Manila. Love? Awesome. Health, yeah. Jobs? World? Yeah, it's a beautiful world. Hey, see those pictures behind the words as we were singing the songs? A few more? Children, homes? Yeah. Friends and fellowship? Yeah. Can you imagine? Think how many hours we've spent with people throughout our lives. We're richer for it. We're better for it. And it's been meaningful. Awesome. Everywhere we've moved, we've gotten invested in the local church and we've built friendships. People all across the country. Other things? Food, yeah. Wait, I knew somebody was going to say food, man. Usually Thanksgiving, right? There's a big pile of harvest stuff up here. And, of course, it's a guy that says food, right? It's the way to our heart, through our tummies. Indoor plumbing. We first moved out of Calgary. We moved into an old schoolhouse. And we got the well dug, but not the water run in before the winter hit. So that whole first year, I carried it was kind of a 5-gallon pail with a toilet seat on it. And I'd take the inner pail out and walk it 1/8 of a mile down to the lagoon and dump it. And that was one of my morning chores. Indoor plumbing is a great thing. I'll shake your hands after. It's all right. Haven't washed since. What else are you thankful for? Soap? Water? Family? Yeah, family of all sorts, eh? We could fill up lists and lists and lists of things that we are thankful for. And I want to help us focus this morning on something that we ought to be thankful for. We're going to take a little break from our series on Titus, and we're going to look at Ephesians 2. 1-10. It's these few verses, 10 verses. But it's good to be alive and active, serving God. Speaking of alive and active, that's a good segue. Alive and active. I've titled it. I've only got 2 points here this morning. But all these things, right? We can easily take them for granted. Our health, right? We don't even notice how healthy we are until we're sick, right? We just cruise through life, think, I deserve this, I expect this, I should be able to get up morning after morning and just be as healthy as I am. But there's times where we're reminded, wow, this is a gift. Something to be thankful for, truly thankful for. Our health affects everything. So much of life. So I want to look at these. I'm going to just leave it on that picture for a minute here. It's almost unfortunate if I understand this well, that there's a chapter break here, although I'm going to start at the beginning of chapter 2 and not go back farther. Because there's good reason to believe this section forms a larger single paragraph going back to chapter 1, verse 15. Often Scripture does that. I mean, we've artificially broke it up. It's much easier to say we're going to deal with chapter 2, 1 to 10, whatever else, than it was just a long scroll without any differentiation in there or whatever, no numbers and chapters and verses to break it up. But we've tried to figure that out. Most of them are very, very helpful. Just a couple of them I would question. But in the end of chapter 1, Paul has explained the power of God in the church as revealed in the resurrection through the representative man, Jesus, and God's gift of him. Another thing to be thankful for, right? The gift of him. As the exalted ruler of the cosmos, everything that exists, he's the ruler of, and of every of the church, and he gives this as he's a gift to the church. And here he wishes, in these verses, to draw attention to that same power of God, but now, insofar as it's revealed in God's bringing us out of death into life. We've already said it several times, but then being thankful for life, thankful that we're made alive in Christ. And it's another thing we can kind of take for granted. Yeah, I kind of know the story. I kind of know this. It's my prayer we would walk out of here with a little more really knowing this. And absolutely thankful and grateful for it. Would you join me in prayer before we read these verses? Heavenly Father, we do walk through life often taking things for granted, people around us. We just assume they're going to keep giving the way they do to us. I find parents are taken advantage of. We take them for granted. Thousands of meals provided for us in our growing up years. And we just go, that's what they're supposed to do. Our life, our health, so many things, God. And you are a gift beyond comprehension, Jesus. Would you awaken us this morning? Help us realize again or afresh or in a new, a deeper way what you have done and who you are, and that we would respond with gratitude and thankfulness. We pray in your name. Amen. Ephesians 2. Read the first three verses here. Should come up on the screen as well. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the children of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Wow, happy Thanksgiving, eh? Who brought this party pooper? What a low blow to the party of giving thanks. But everyone, we need to understand this, everyone, me, you, all people, except for Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, perfectly sinless, obedient. He is never a slave to his passions or desires of the body or mind, and he was not a child of wrath. But the rest of us are. It's bad news. We need to understand this. We need to understand this. While Paul elsewhere teaches that this state of affairs is the result of sin. I mean, his point here, a primary point, and it is, it's the result of sin. But also the state here is the transgressions. The state of us in our transgressions and sins is what characterizes the former existence. Dead in our trespasses and sins. Right? The fruit of being dead is we live like we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And we can't escape those. We're enslaved to them. That we walked in, we lived in them. Satan here is described as the ruler of the kingdom of air. Air means the lower heavens, closest to the earth, and was often thought to be the abode of the evil spiritual beings. The idea of Satan being at work in those who are disobedient is found elsewhere in Jewish literature, and we won't get into that. But to actually rejoice in what Jesus has done, we need to understand first this bad news that we are dead. Dead, it's not a pleasant term. Right? We can, lots to give thanks for, but we can also remember recent funerals. We can remember other things that have been really hard where we see death at work, Satan at work in our society, in our own lives, our own reactions and responses. There's an incredible death that breaks relationship and destroys and robs us of the joy and the life that God has died for. And we are children of wrath. And we need to understand that every one of us, condemned to suffer God's holy anger directed against sin. I remember when we worked with Venture Teams International, we would put together programs, singing and music, and singing and music, they go together, hopefully. Not when I do it. Chalk art, and drama, and whatever. Creative ways of teaching the Bible and biblical truth, and then train teams and send them all over the world. And our executive director comes in as we're putting one of these programs together, and he sees on the chalkboard, right, there was this chalk drawing, and people would draw while we're singing or while somebody's telling a story, and they'd do a drawing, and then either would do black light on it or something, but at the very end, it would reveal the real message that was trying to come across. So people are watching this, and the word that's written on this board is culpable. And our executive director walks in and goes, "What are you doing with culpable on there? How are children going to understand culpable? That's a big word. Who even understands, right?" And then we're going, no. We're going to a Latin American culture. And it's culpable. It's in Spanish. It just simply means guilty. And he wasn't taking that cross-cultural piece. But the truth is, we're all culpable. We're all guilty. And the wages of sin is death. It's death. We need to understand the bad news before we can get to the good news. And there's nothing great in this. It's not fun, not really thanksgiving, until we get to the next phrase. We look at verses 4-7. But God, two short words, but absolutely transform everything. But God, dead, but God, slaves to sin and trespasses, but God changes everything. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What He has accomplished is nothing short of a miracle. It is miraculous in so many ways. It's miraculous. What God in His love and mercy has actually done for us. comes in stark contrast to the doom that we have in the first three verses here. It dramatically reveals the nature of God, His character, His rich in mercy, great in love. Right? He's misrepresented in our world. Or He's just that harsh God that wants to condemn everybody. He's done everything He can to provide a way that no one would experience death and suffering, that we could experience life in Him. Be made alive. He's made us alive together with Christ. And by grace, it's a gift. This term, made alive, commonly means in resurrection with Christ. It appears to be a shorthand for saying, we shall be resurrected with Christ to a new creation life. It's not just about what we see here in the physical, but we're resurrected to a new creation life. And we may speak of it as though it were already accomplished event, because the decisive event, the resurrection of Jesus, has already made this. He's already brought about it. So we can just talk about it as though it's already happened, because it's as good as done. When we come to faith in Christ, it's something we already have. Do we fully possess it? No. We're hindered in this world. But it's already guaranteed. Already guaranteed. And we're going to, in the next slide, He's taken us from to being dead in sin to dead to sin. It doesn't have to control us anymore. We can be freed from it and walk alive now. Dead to sin and growing in Him, truly alive. And we celebrated baptisms here a couple of weeks in a row at the beginning of September. We die to ourselves. We're raised to new life in Christ. And we're spiritually made alive. And we're dead to sin. Sometimes we don't live it. Just like the things we give thanks for, we slip into just kind of trying to be alive apart from this. We slip into living as though we are still dead. Taking on other idols, being slaves to our passions and our emotions and our whatever else again. But we are freed from it. As we learn to live in Christ, we are more and more alive, made alive. The next slide, as it comes up, there's a couple phrases on there. Thanks be to God. That's if we're saying it to each other. Or there's thank you, God, if it's our prayer and we're saying it to God. Would you pick one of those? It's going to come up a few times in the next few minutes here. To say it out loud, right? We boldly gave thanks for all sorts of things. Food, and life, and health, and all sorts of things. Family. Can we say this to God, that He's provided a way we can be fully alive, whether we want to say it together, to each other, thanks be to God, or thank you, God. Would you pick yours and say it out loud now? Thank you, God. Just aware of what He has done. He's taken us from death to life. He's made us alive. It's a complete salvation. Our complete salvation has already been assured and revealed in Christ. And it's underway in us. Thank you, God. He's bringing about this new life in me. I'm not fully there yet. I'm hindered. The presence of sin is still here. I still give in regularly, unfortunately. But He's made us, made me alive, given me a new nature and a new heart, and it's at work in me. Wow. Thank you, God. Right? I think of a symbol on there. Right? Me, the metal equipment. When it goes flatline, we're dead. We can live. We can be fully alive. The guilt is removed. The power of sin is overpowered. Removal of the presence of sin is still to come, but guaranteed. We go to the next slide. Pick your phrase. Thanks be to God. Right? We can slip in at Thanksgiving. I just want, and fill in the blank. What do you really want in life? What? New vehicle. I just want, get the crops off the field. Already invested planting them. Then they get covered in snow. Then they're wet. Then they're, I just want, fill in the blank. Is this too much to ask? I just want this. I just want that. Where do we stop and just be thankful? All we have, right? That big list. We could fill sheets and sheets. But even this, even if this was the only gift that Jesus had come and made a way that we could be really alive, have abundant eternal life, if this was the only gift, would we still be thankful? This is it. I mean, he's given us so much more, but that's all secondary. Look at the last couple of verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of work, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm just going to reread the first half of that. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's a gift. Do we say thank you for that? Right? When someone gives us something, we say thank you. If we receive it, if we're grateful, we say thank you. Recognize it's a gift from God. A summary here partly echoes the language of the debates of the Galatians and the Romans about justification and faith without commitment to the Mosaic law. So they're fighting about this. There's dialogue going on at the time that Paul's writing. And the point Paul makes here is different but complementary. He says that the salvation which we have already experienced in our transfer from death to life in union with Jesus is a dramatic disclosure of God's gracious power. Precisely because it comes completely from him. It's not the product of, nor the reward given to, our works. But how often do we still slip into that? I think we need to earn this, right? As kids, sometimes we think we need to earn our love from our parents or whatever else. We slip into, I gotta do this. It's a gift of God through faith. It's a gift. We're made alive. And it's fully about what he has done. We'll celebrate communion here in just a couple moments. It's fully about what he has done. We're alive. We can be spiritually alive, no longer dead, no longer blind and dead in our trespasses and sins, but we can really see what's going on. We can understand who Christ is and what he has done, making us alive. Thanks be to God. And we're not only alive, but we're called to follow him, and they're connected together to be active participants in this bringing it about to others, to everyone else, fully walking in it. The last couple of verses, the last verse. For we are his workmanship, created by God. God doesn't make junk. He made something incredible when he created you. We all slip into noticing our flaws, whatever else. We need to stand in front of a mirror and go, wow, I'm a creation. I'm God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And we're not walking in obedience. We're not fully living though as though we're alive. We're still to some degree living as if we're dead. To the degree we're living in obedience and in surrender before Him. Yes, thank you for this being made alive. And I'm more alive as I walk. Here's how He's created me to live. Live that out, proclaiming Him, all sorts of things. It'd be unique to each person. And similar. On the next slide, would you choose your phrase? He's called us to be alive and active. Choose your phrase. Thanks be to God. Alive and active, to fully move in that direction. As I was thinking about this, I thought of Hebrews 4:12 on the next slide. The Word of God is alive and active. Ephesians 2 saying, this is about us. Hebrews 4 bringing us back to the Word. The Word dwells in all who have received by faith God's gift of life through Jesus Christ, being made alive and active. His Word is alive and active. And the Word dwells within us. We are made alive and active, able to walk and live and do good works, right? Without manipulation, whatever else, freely love, and the world doesn't get that. Loving selflessly, we can only do to the degree that we're living in Christ. Made us alive and active. Alive in Him and active for Him, following, really living. The next slide, choose your phrase. Thank you, God. We say this often enough. Do we realize if this is the only gift, only thing He's ever done for us, this is ought to overwhelm us and lead us to worship and gratefulness. In Christ, we're alive. Now, even this has a negative connotation. So we look at the next slide. In Christ, we're alive, and where we're walking. It's a warfare. We see that going on in our world. There's a battleground. This means war. Actively advancing. That's what we're called to. That's what He's raised us up for. He's made us alive to push back, to bring, usher in the kingdom of God. We play a role. Thanks be to God, we can do that. By His power, we can do that. We can love those who disagree with us. Let's just make this real personal for a moment on the next slide. God has an amazing plan for your life, but it won't automatically happen without your cooperation. See, if we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then to the degree we're just going to go on and live our own lives, we won't really experience the life He's made possible for us. He has an amazing plan for your life. He has an amazing plan for Coaldale MB, but it won't automatically happen without our cooperation. We partner with Him, we grow, we experience more and more being made alive and active for Him. We receive it in faith. We're enabled to live, made alive and active in a new kingdom, not just for ourselves. What can we get? I want this thing. But in God's kingdom. To live otherwise is to live as though we're still dead. Speaking of that, Beverly and I watched a short clip on Peer Flicks of a series, kind of an interesting series, dialogue one, but it reminded me of an old story I'd heard. There was a gentleman, he went to his friend, and he was just confused in his thinking. He was struggling in life. And he says, I believe I'm dead. And his friend says, what do you mean? Like, here you are. I can push you around. Like, no, really, I believe I'm dead. He goes, man, I don't know what to do with this guy. I couldn't convince him. Couldn't convince his friend. No, you're still alive. So he takes him to a psychiatrist. And he says, hey, I can't convince this guy that he's actually still alive. And he says to the psychiatrist, no, I really believe this. I'm dead. The psychiatrist is going, wow, I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with this. So and then he comes up with the idea, well, what do we know about a dead person? Does a dead person bleed? The guy goes, no, their heart's not pumping. No, they don't bleed. So those of us that give blood regularly, right, they take that little thing, poke your finger, and squeeze out your blood. So he does that to this guy, squeezes out his blood, and he goes, what does that show you? The guy goes, dead people do bleed. You know, it's a goofy story, but I'm concerned that some people are living like that. They're so convinced that God can't love them unconditionally. At some point, something's happened in life. Someone's called a name, and they've taken hold of that name to such a degree that what they believe, their preconceptions about life, is that they got to earn it. That they're dead. That they can't be saved. They could even be sitting here. They could have heard this story dozens of times, hundreds of times, what Jesus has done. But that underlying belief, I'm dead. I can't just be forgiven. I have to earn it. Even when someone pokes their finger and points out, when you're bleeding, you've been made alive. You can be made alive. And show you. We hold to that old belief as though still dead. And then we live like it. We're trying to earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift. We don't have to earn it. Not beforehand, but I mean more people that, yeah, I kind of know who Jesus is. I know the story. Actually, I know it well. But this underlying doubt. Am I really, really saved? Am I actually unconditionally loved? Am I made alive in Him? And to a large degree, that underlying belief undermines what Jesus has done and accomplished for us. He's done both. He's made us alive and active. And as we take those steps of obedience, we learn and we live, we truly walk in gratefulness, grateful living, thankfulness. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Because it's both and. We're made alive and active. But it's also a choice, right? We choose to respond. We go, wow, I've been believing a lie about myself. I'm not quite as lovable as someone else. To be fully and freely enjoy the life that He's made possible. And so we kind of timidly enjoy it a little bit on the fringes. We trust in ourselves in a dozen other ways that undermine God's work in us and through us. We're the ones being robbed. We're the ones not believing that we are alive or that we can be made alive, what Jesus has actually done. We're going to celebrate communion. This is what God has done. Thanks be to God. He's done for us what we cannot do on ourselves. Some of us need to step back and go, I need to quit trying to earn this. But receive it fully and then learn to walk in it as an act of gratitude and thankfulness. Would you join me in a word of prayer and then I'll have those serving communion this morning come up. Heavenly Father, this is so simple and yet so deep and complex, God. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, and every one of us that is true of. And though we've heard the story, it's not just about intellectually believing, Jesus, that you came, were born miraculously through the Virgin Mary, that you lived a sinless life. You taught, you discipled, and that you willingly went to the cross for each of us. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord. But it's not just understanding the story, God. It's incorporating it into our lives. It's stepping in. It's choosing to receive that gift of life. Not just saying we agree what's happened, what you have done, but allowing you to abide within us. Not just a visitation, a short visit. Oh, thanks, Jesus. Come and give me some good gifts. But a habitation where you dwell in us consistently, constantly, perpetually. You take up residence. You abide within us and we abide within you. And we are both made alive and increasingly we learn to live alive. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord. We bow before you. We thank you for what you have done. And we celebrate today with gratitude. And out of gratitude, we want to live for you, empowered by you, and bring as many others into the kingdom to be discipled as possible. Would you help us live both alive as well as active participants with you, taking hold of this life you've given us and leading others to do the same. Walking in these works, prepared in advance for us that we might walk in them for your glory, for your sake. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Those serving communion, please come up.